CL, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Two of that 590 show coming at you right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger alongside Matt Rocchio and John Giamatti Rudolph. Hope everybody's having a great night. The Bellman Automotive phone line, 855-282-8255. The text line, 855-282-8255. But joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is Alexander Goot. He is a freelance journalist who wrote a great piece, and I mean a great piece, about the recent layoffs at ESPN that can be found at Medium.com. You can follow him on Twitter at agoot18. Alexander, thank you so much for making time for us, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, and thank you so much for having me, Matt.
I really do appreciate it. Richard Deitch from SI.com is how I found your article at Medium. When I read it, I'm like, I got to give this guy an email, see if I can get him on, because I thought your piece was just spot on about the layoffs at ESPN. But let's give some people your backstory a little bit. Now, you worked at ESPN for, three or four years as basically kind of like a production assistant, correct?
Correct. I worked at ESPN from 2006 to about 2013, and there's no question. You know, the piece is in many ways a personal piece, because ESPN is a place that still has a very personal connection to me, as I write a little bit about. And so I, you know, don't pretend for a second that I come to this story without, you know, some personal feelings, and obviously colored by my own experiences there and the affinity that I still have for the place and you know, a lot of friends and former colleagues that still work there today. And, you know, it's obviously a story that has been taken in a lot of different directions and had a lot of different people look to sort of shape their own narratives. And it's something that I kind of just wanted to write about and express my own feelings on.
The title of your article is ESPN's Problem Isn't Politics, It's False Narrative. And you were talking about how you did not want to get your personal feelings involved with it, but there seems to be a lot of people who see ESPN as being too left-wing or part of the left-wing, taking a lot of joy in people losing their jobs, which I didn't understand at all. I'm like, okay, I understand. You don't like Jemele Hill, and you don't like Michael Smith, and you don't like Bomani Jones. You think they're too left, because anytime someone talks about race, you think it's politics, but you're happy that Jamie Sire and, you know, Ed Werder and Jason Stark lost their job. I don't understand.
Well, and to your point, I mean, and that's sort of what I wanted to communicate in the article, is the idea of, and I think I say at one point, it's like, look, you know, people have their prerogative, and if you disagree with the personal views or the politics or the, you know, opinions on sports or otherwise about, as you say, Bomani Jones, Jemele Hill, anybody, you know, that's your prerogative. I might disagree. A lot of people might disagree. Chances are, I think, as, you know, many Twitter users could probably attest, if you get into an argument with Bomani Jones and some of these folks, it's probably not going to go well for you. But, you know, it's two separate issues. And as I try to write in the piece, it's one thing to have a problem with the politics of individual commentators. It's one thing to have a problem with the programming at ESPN. Nobody's saying that anybody has to be a fan of the network or of any particular show. Where it just devolves into, you know, total nonsense is to try and connect things that aren't connected, to try to say that the business struggles of this company are tied to a political agenda, are tied to an overall, you know, liberal conspiracy. I mean, because again, and as talked about in the piece, the facts just aren't there. I mean, this is a bigger story about problems with the cable industry. You know, pick your cable network, the USA Network, FX,
yeah,
HGTV.
All of them.
They're all suffering from fewer subscribers. They're all going to have to figure out how to adjust to that. Now, you know, as plenty of smart people have written about, ESPN takes the blow to the cable industry particularly hard, both because they have the largest subscriber fee by far of any cable network, and because they have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in television deals that they are still going to have to pay out to the NFL and the NBA. And so, you know, what it all comes down to is again, obviously, nobody is saying the network doesn't have challenges. Nobody is saying they don't have questions that they're going to have to answer. But to try to connect it to some notion of, you know, vast left-wing conspiracy is just based in no real facts.
Well, and I got into it with a few people on Twitter and online after, you know, after Mike Ditka had been fired or let go by ESPN, and after Curt Schilling had been fired by ESPN, you know, the people who agree with them politically kept pointing out about, well, you never see them fire anybody who likes Obama. But then next thing you know, you're seeing Chris Carter getting fired and you're seeing Ray Lewis getting fired. So I would tweet at them and be like, OK, well, what did Ray Lewis say about Obama to get fired from ESPN? Something tells me nothing. It doesn't mean that, you know, just because Mike Ditka got fired from ESPN, it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that he ran against Obama for the Senate. What was it, back in 2004? It's just such a ridiculous argument. I don't understand it.
Well, and it's just, again, you know, we are living, obviously, in a time, and it has been well documented and talked about that, you know, everything becomes a culture war at this point, and everything becomes a political argument. And, you know, look, I'm as guilty of that at times as anyone. And, you know, we all want to find the political angles, the social angles to things. But at some point, you know, especially with this ESPN story, the responsible thing is to sort of step away, look at the information, look at what's actually going on from a business perspective. And again, look, you know, as I tried to talk about in the piece, like, yes, of course, in this country of hundreds of millions of people, there are undoubtedly some that are tuning the, you know, their televisions to other networks because they were upset that Caitlyn Jenner received an ESPY award, because they were mad that ESPN, you know, covered Michael Sam being drafted. Of course, you can find people who maybe are not happy with the fact that ESPN has, you know, taken stances on certain stories that they consider leftist.
Yeah.
There are also people that have tuned out ESPN because they were mad about the Deflategate coverage. There are undoubtedly people that tune out ESPN because they wish the Sacramento Kings got more coverage. So, I mean, you can
to me that's
any number of reasons, but it doesn't touch the larger business issue.
I think that's what you're. I think you're really onto something there too, because especially around here, now that St. Louis has become a two-sport town with the departure of the Rams, a lot of the people that I've talked to said that they don't watch ESPN anymore. It's because they don't cover hockey. And that's one thing that's kind of like one of the major sports that ESPN doesn't really pay that much attention to. I mean, they have Barry Melrose and they have Steve Levy and they did have John Buchagras, but that's been about it. I mean, that's basically their hockey team. They've basically told hockey fans, yeah, you know what? We don't care about you. They've pretty much let that sport go.
Well, that's going to be one of the big challenges for the network moving forward, obviously, is it's a place that, and, you know, again, I can attest from having worked there and continuing to have, you know, people I know in contact there, it's an ambitious company. And for a long time, a company in the network that wanted to be all things to all people and put people in every, you know, locker room and every media center. And obviously, I mean, there's no getting around the fact that, you know, last week, the last couple of weeks, I have no doubt have been difficult ones for that company. Any media organization over the past decade is going through challenges and difficulties and having to lose people. And it is no joke and it is no fun. And, you know, again, they're going to have really hard, I'm sure, decisions to make about where they're going to put their resources, how they're going to try to fix some of the problems and answer some of these questions. And again, to me, and that was what motivated the piece in the first place, all the more reason with all these very real problems that have to be solved and changes that are going to be made and, you know, people having to adjust to these new realities, all the more reason to not waste time on a narrative that is, frankly, just fictional.
And I think they kind of bit off more than they could chew, too, with, okay, you paid so much more for the NBA. They paid a ton for the NFL, and what do they get out of it? They get a Monday Night Football game, they get highlights, and they get a wild card weekend. That's a lot of money for the NFL. And then you have college basketball, you have college football, you have the Longhorn Network, you have the SEC Network, you have ESPN you have ESPN News. They just have so much that they have to pay for that I got a feeling you're going to see a lot of that scale back.
Well, it's and you know, it's, you're absolutely right that there's a lot of obviously big deals on the books that are going to have to be paid for moving forward. And it's, you know, it's the, I always, and people smarter than I and with far better business knowledge than I will have to figure out these questions. But I mean, look, you do understand ESPN's position in that, you know, it was only 5-10 years ago that all the world was talking about was how, hey, in this world of DVRs and, you know, people watching services on HBO and on-demand services, live sports was the one thing that, you know, was totally DVR-proof, that a big audience wanted to see an event at the same time. Live sports was the one thing that could still deliver that. And for that reason, those rights fees, as you say, skyrocketed. And, you know, it wasn't just ESPN that was competing for those leagues. I mean, there were other bidders, there were other networks trying to pry away some of that NBA coverage, some of those NFL rights. And in one sense, you can totally understand why ESPN would take the position of, you know, look, we need to keep these live rights. They are the lifeblood of our network. They're fundamental to everything that we do, and we need to hold on to them. As you say, with everything that's happened with the broader cable business now, it's absolutely true that those escalating fees have become a challenge in many ways. But, you know, again, anybody that claims that they can see the straight line and that they know exactly what the reality is going to be of the business moving forward, whether that's over the top, whether that's ESPN launching its own services, whether that's digital, there are a lot of changes coming. You know, I'm certainly not smart enough to know exactly what the landscape is going to look like. I have to believe that having the rights to the NFL and the NBA, which are still the most popular national sports in this country, you know, having those rights is still going to be a very desirable thing. But, you know, figuring out how to monetize them and how to make this business work in a new landscape, it's going to be a challenge. And we're just going to have to wait and see how it all unfolds.
Alexander Goot joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at agoot18. I think another thing that's probably maybe hurting the public perception of ESPN is First Take, and how you were always talking about cable news and how it seems like this culture war, and cable news is just basically someone on the left and someone on the right screaming at each other. ESPN, their most popular show is probably First Take, where you have Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman. I mean, and to a certain, and before that, Skip Bayless, just sitting on opposite sides of a sports desk and just screaming at each other over nonsense. I think that's probably turned a lot of people off as well.
Well, I, you know, talk a little bit in the piece about, you know, and for those that haven't read it, can go check it out, and exploring a little bit this notion of, right, the sort of, you know, the both sides matter, the got to hear from both sides nature of not just our sports coverage now, but our political coverage as well, as anyone that's tuned into CNN and some of these news networks know. And, you know, you're absolutely right. And as I alluded to in the piece, I mean, ESPN, as we talked about, in their you know, quest to be all things to all people, they do a lot of different types of programming. They do a lot of really, you know, rigorous and outstanding investigative reporting and, you know, deep long-form journalism and features. And yeah, there's a lot of debate programming and discussion that, you know, is probably not for everyone. And that, as you say, you know, you name the ESPN show, and this is the reality of it, sure. Name the ESPN show, and I'm sure I can find you some people that, you know, are not a fan, that it rubs the wrong way. And, you know, that's absolutely true. But again, it's where it turned into this narrative of somehow that because the network is employing some, you know, very thoughtful and, yes, perhaps maybe on the left side of the political spectrum commentators, that was somehow the bigger business story here. And it's just something that doesn't work. It doesn't hold up.
And I just can't imagine, if you're a college football fan and you love watching college football, that you're going to quit watching College Game Day and you're going to quit watching college football all day on Saturday because of what, you know, Sarah Spain said on Tuesday. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Well,
I'll admit, I don't
also talk about the fact that it's just not practically, and, you know, plenty of people, I believe someone from either Disney or ESPN made these comments, and it's also true, you know, the cable package does not exist where you can subscribe to Fox News and not subscribe to ESPN.
Yeah, you can't
do that.
It
literally doesn't exist. It's not a thing that you can do. And so this notion that somehow people are, you know, maybe we're moving to a future where the networks are a la carte and people will be able to just, you know, specifically choose not to subscribe to ESPN. But that's not the reality now. If you have cable, you have ESPN on your system. And the idea that, as you say, people are abandoning the entire cable bundle because of Sarah Spain or Bomani Jones or anyone is just preposterous.
Bomani Jones, the only person at ESPN to block me on Twitter, and I didn't even do anything that bad. And I'm a fan of Bomani Jones. I am. I do. I like him a lot. I listen to his radio show every once in a while. I find him entertaining. There's a rumor floating around that Disney CEO Bob Iger is eventually going to run for president, possibly in 2020, and he is going to be using kind of like this ESPN left-wing platform as part of his campaign. Have you heard that rumor, and how much credence do you give that?
I guess not much by the
sound of that laughter.
No, this is all just I laugh as it's, you know, stepping out of certainly any expertise or insight or anything like.
Oh, come
that.
On, you know you got Bob you got Bob Iger on the phone, Alexander. Don't lie to me.
that is quite a few levels above above what my pay grade was and still is. So I can't offer much on that.
So if I were to put you in charge, like, we're going to get rid of John Skipper. I'm not going to put you in charge of ESPN. How do you think they turn it around? How do they get the subscribers back? Can they get the subscribers back?
You know, I don't think it's a magic formula. I don't think, I mean, look, in terms of the subscribers, the cable business model is changing. And I think there's enough data now over a long enough period of time that, you know, I think it's probably pretty clear and pretty fair to say that the cable bundle is not going to be what it was. You're not going to have 100 million subscribers to these big cable packages as you might have had in the past. Now, you know, that being said, and this to me is the fascinating question. On the one hand, there's no question the cable bundle is changing. On the other hand, and I'm sure you'll probably agree with this, and most people would, I don't think America is going to stop watching sports anytime soon. And so, you know, ESPN is still, look, when it comes to sports rights, when it comes to sports coverage, I mean, make no mistake, despite these challenges and despite the last couple of weeks, there's still the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
There's no question.
So that's the interesting question to me, is that, like, look, they still possess all these sports rights. They are still going to be widely watched and consumed. The college football playoff, Monday Night Football, all of these college sports properties, college football, they are still going to command big audiences. The question, I think, and it's a really interesting question, is where are those audiences going to be? How much of it is going to be on television, over the top services? How much is going to be people watching online? And as big a part of that is, you know, what are the ad rates going to be? And how is that money going to be made up? What's the price point going to be if ESPN does eventually have its own standalone service? You know, these are questions that I'm sure some people with very fancy business degrees are in a boardroom somewhere trying to puzzle through and answer. But, you know, as far as what I would say is that, look, ESPN needs to continue to do what I do believe it always strives to do, which is, you know, own live sports coverage for sure, and provide quality coverage as much as possible. And, you know, the fact remains that the business side and monetizing it and figuring out how the numbers work, that's going to be a challenge. But I think all ESPN can do is just try to put the smartest and highest quality shows on the air for sports coverage, and I hope that that's what they continue to do.
Alexander Goot, we appreciate your time this evening, sir. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
That is Alexander Goot. You can read his column, or his article, I guess you could say, at Medium.com. You can follow him on Twitter at agoot18. Very good stuff. Really did enjoy his insight. And I think he's absolutely right. No one can call up and say, I want to keep my Fox News, but I want to cancel ESPN. It doesn't work that way. You either take all of it or you cancel all of it. If you could say, like, ESPN's ratings are in decline and someone else's ratings are on the rise, then, yeah, that would make sense. But it's not working that way. Everybody's cutting the cord. We were talking about it in the first segment. Let's head to that 590 Show Sports Update Desk and our very own Matt Rocchio.
And let's get you an update on the NHL game in progress today. It is the Senators and the Rangers. They are in the first intermission. The Senators have pushed out to a two-goal lead behind a late goal from Mark Stone in the first period. Again, Senators a 2-0 lead, leading the series already 3-2. Could be bad news bears for the NHL's big shots here if this score doesn't change. In San Antonio, the Rockets and the Spurs are trading blows in the first frame. 2 minutes left in the first quarter, and the Rockets currently lead 27-26. Earlier today, St. Louis native and now former Los Angeles Kings goalie Ben Bishop has been traded to the Dallas Stars for a fourth-round pick in this year's draft. And a judge in Massachusetts has agreed to vacate Aaron Hernandez's conviction in the 2013 murder of Odin Lloyd. In action right now, the Reds lead the Yankees 5-3 in the bottom of the fourth, while the Brewers lead the Red Sox 5-1 in the bottom of the second. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. We'll take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, Rock and I are going to get back into the NBA playoffs. You're listening to That 590 Show on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Don't criticize it.